One Trapped Creeper Boy by A-Anon-01, read by Sandstripe. It's not like Michael is hearing voices per se, because that would be insane. It's just that now and again, he hears a voice. And it was fine before, when he wasn't entirely sure if he heard it, and he could just shrug and pass it off as tiredness or whatever. But the thing is, that voice is getting louder. No, get him, Michael, he's gonna build the tower! And it knows his name. Dude, why'd you stop? Ray is laughing from his desk as the others cheer loudly. In the game, Tuxedo Mask is standing on top of four gleaming blocks of gold and throwing roses. A square-headed Banjo is standing a few feet away, just watching him, diamond sword in hand. Michael suffers a stroke at the last minute, and Ray wins the tower! Jeff calls out merrily. Jack and Ryan laugh from their places, their characters dancing around the tower and singing some sort of mock tribal music. The controller is still lax in Michael's hand, because underneath all of the excitement and laughter, a small voice is tutting at him. Well, you balls that up, didn't you? Okay, what the hell? Michael mutters, his hands tightening again around the controller, and he turns away from the tower and the celebration to scan the world around them. Someone must have sneaked into the game from Xbox Live or something. He doesn't know why the others don't seem to be able to hear the fucker, but that's the only explanation. And this time, the British little prick has cost him the game. So he's gonna find him, and he's gonna kick the shit out of him. Banjo moves forward, sword swaying with every step. Come out, you little bitch, Michael says in the microphone. Behind him, the others have cooled off, and even Ray has paused long enough to look over at him. You okay there? Michael, we're gonna have to edit the shit out of this. Come on, lad. In a sec, there's someone else in here, Michael says, shaking his head. There's a small movement behind him as Jack crosses the room to stand beside him, leaning over to look at his monitor. What do you mean? He asks. There's no other players according to the map, dude, Ryan says, shrugging at Jeff when Michael doesn't acknowledge them. I heard him, is all Michael says to himself, leading Banjo on through the forest behind Achievement City. He continues on for another couple of minutes, but the voice has stopped and he can't see anyone. Maybe he really is just imagining it. He's always had a thing for that accent, and with Lindsay gone, maybe he's just like, okay, no, what? Are you following me? Get away! Seriously, I was just trying to help! Michael and Banjo pause, and then, out of the corner of his eye, on the screen, a green flash darts off to the left. Michael growls and dashes after it. By now, the others have joined Jack in watching him, but he doesn't care. When he catches up with this idiot, the shit is gonna hit the fan. You gonna tell us what you got against that creeper, or... Ray asks. Michael frowns, because it is, in fact, only a creeper, but... How come it's running away? Ryan says over his shoulder. Never seen one do that before. New update or something? Ray shrugs. Apparently bored with Michael's impersonation of a crazy person. He heads back to his desk, but not before snatching the model of the Tower of Pimps from where it sits in front of Michael. Okay, well, I'm just gonna save and then... No! Michael says suddenly. Let me kill this thing first! Jack laughs and Jeff rolls his eyes. Not that Michael can see him, but he mutters an okay and everyone retreats back to their own desks. Michael stalks the creeper, kind of impressed by how it's managing to outrun him, but it won't last forever. May as well give up, you freak of code. Gonna get you sooner or later. Please, Michael, I don't want to explode! Comes the pitiful request. Michael finds himself pausing again. It seriously can't be the creeper talking, right? Look, you play a pretty good game, dude, but whether you're some freak hacker with a cool skin or a bug from another game, I'm done with your shit. Get out of here or I end you. The creeper stops and turns back towards him on a hillside on the far edge of the map. Michael has no idea where he is or how to get back. But whatever, Jeff can sort that later. He stays a few feet away from it, because the game might be over, but he doesn't want to get blown into little bear pieces. I'm not hacking you, the British creeper says sadly. I just wanted to help, that's all. It looked like fun. Michael has never heard anything so goddamn pitiful in all his life. And clearly, the breakup is getting to him because now he wants to hug Creeper. For fuck's sake. Look, just, Michael says, lowering his voice a little, and suddenly very aware that he works with four other people in a very small office, and they can absolutely all hear him. Tell me how you got into her game and we'll call it quits, okay? I told you I didn't hack, the British voice snaps back at him. I live here. You guys came into my world. Not the other way around. I was here first! Michael feels his fingers tighten, going white against the plastic of his controller. What a little bitch. He was being nothing but nice here. Listen, you little... Let's stop, Jeff announces. and Michael curses loudly as the screen pops back to the menu, the creeper on the hillside fading to black. What'd you do that for, Jeff? Dude, you were talking to a creeper, and I want to go home sometime today. You know, see my wife and kid, that sort of thing. Ray snorts from where he sits, reaching forward to tidy up his desk and switch off his Xbox. Behind him, he knows Jack and Ryan are doing the same. On their Macs, they set the recordings to render, and with a few more mumbled curses, Michael does the same, preparing his own footage for the next day. They'd already drawn lots to see who would edit, and this one was all on Jack, thank God. Work wraps up like it normally does, with banter and calls from the other office about where to eat. Ryan grabs his stuff and heads back to the warehouse to finish up there, and Jeff leaves first, soon followed by Jack. Ray punches him lightly in the shoulder and asks if he wants to grab some fast foods from somewhere, but Michael blows him off. I'm good. Tired, though. I'll see you tomorrow, okay? Ray shrugs and leaves him to it, calling Miles and Carrie on his way out to see if they're up for some chow. Michael sits and watches his footage for a few minutes, and then calls up the files of captures he has archived from previous Let's Plays. This is so dumb. He knows that, but whatever. He's gonna get to the bottom of this. You know, you might want to make an iron pickaxe before you go for the diamond. Michael pauses the footage and pushes one of his headphones closer to his ear. He scrolls back and plays the footage again. The same accented voice pipes up once more, offering its little bit of advice. He heard it the first time, of course, but just after he'd fallen headfirst into goddamn lava, so he hadn't taken much notice. But he scrolls back again, and yes, there. In the back of the cave, on the far left of the screen, a few feet above where he'd been facing, was a creeper, just standing there, looking at him. Shit. It was 3 a.m. before Michael had checked the rest of his footage from the past months. Over 30 Minecraft Let's Plays, and although the most tired he'd felt in ages, he was at least triumphant. Tomorrow he'd come in and show the others this shit, and then let Jeff handle their unwelcome guest. Helpful though he had been. Michael grabbed the spare keys from behind Kara's desk, turned off the last of the lights, and locked the main door to the office behind him. He yawned and trudged the 5 short minutes back to his building. At least he would sleep well tonight, for what was left of it anyway. The next morning, everyone was looking over his shoulder at his monitor again, and this time they were a little more worried about his apparent descent into craziness. There, you hear that? Michael turned the volume up on the recording. Ryan was the first to speak, after looking at the others behind him for confirmation. Hear what? Michael turned slowly in his chair. You don't hear the little British-sounding prick telling you not to go left? 4 confused-looking faces shook their heads. Michael's shoulders dropped. Well, fuck. Jeff brought a hand down onto his shoulder. You know, it's tough enough when personal stuff happens outside work, let alone when the two kind of clash, and... This isn't about that, Michael says. The others disperse pretty quickly. Jeff always seems to slot easily into his father figure type when he can be bothered to, and Michael knows he's in for a pep talk. You did some good work there, lad, Jeff tells him, gesturing to the edited footage on his screen. Could release it as a compilation sometime. Michael Rage Quit Jones, best Minecraft fuck-ups. He laughs. Michael chuckles a little despite himself. It really isn't about her, he says. Jeff looks down at him kindly and then nods. Okay, lad, you ever want to talk? I know, thanks, Michael says quickly, glad when those soft eyes turn away again. The others let it lie, and Michael sighs and does too. The last few weeks have been more than shitty. Staying late now and then when he knows Lindsay is picking up stuff from the apartment. Lunchtimes he's stuck to eating in the office because he knows the others are having lunch together in the warehouse. And Lindsay still waxes lyrical about him. He knows she doesn't have it in her to talk badly about him, but it's just shit, that's all. It gets pushed to the back of his mind eventually. They play Monopoly for an April Fool's joke, and he records a kick-ass rage quit on Wednesday evening, editing the footage with a grin plastered on his face that lasts all the way into the next day. But then it's time for the next Minecraft Let's Play. Holy shit! He finds himself shouting, startled. What? What? Seriously, we only just loaded. What the hell could you have done already? Here we are, the professional gamers, working on our latest masterpiece. Hi, Michael! Michael coughs. It's nothing. Sorry. I thought I saw, lava. He ignores Ray's confused, but we spawned in our houses, because there is a creeper standing by his bed. Don't get any closer, it warns. I'm pretty sure the exploding thing is automatic, and I don't want to explode. I reckon it'll hurt. Don't come any closer, Michael hisses into his mic, trying not to draw any more attention to himself. You're in my house, dumbass! Well, it takes ages to find you all sometimes, and I miss half the action, the creeper says. Michael thinks about how if it was capable of facial expressions, it'd be pouting. Good grief.
So why not just hang out around Achievement City instead of inside my goddamn house?
The creeper pauses.
Oh.
Didn't think of that.
You're a moron.
Michael shoots back without thinking. You're a moron. The creeper returns without missing a beat. Michael finds himself grinning. Okay, so when Banjo's finished shacking off in there, we can get going. Michael hears Jeff say to a chorus of laughter. He turns and leaves the house without a second glance at the creeper. He's already had enough pitying looks today. No need for any more. They play a game called Clouds, and it's hard as dicks. No sooner is he near the end than Ryan drops his shit on him, breaking an ice block and sending him falling to his death, seconds from victory. When he falls, he sees the creeper watching them all from under a tree close to the end of the course. It curses for him when he sees Ryan cheating.
That was totally out of order! Oh my god, Michael, he can't do that!
Go get him back, you can't let him win after that kind of guff.
Kick his arse!
Okay, okay, he mutters into the mic. It's quiet and private, and Michael is laughing softly. This creeper is clearly invested in their little game. It's like having a fan watch them or something. He plays as best he can, but in the end, it's Ray that wins again. He stands on top of his tower once more, jumping up and down and throwing roses. Michael's proud he got one up at least, but this was one of the more frustrating things Jeff had come up with, that's for sure. The creeper is apparently not at all happy with the result. While the others make their way back to Achievement City, Michael slows Banjo to a walk. He'll catch up with them eventually, after pretending to get lost. He approaches the tree the creeper is under carefully, making sure it knows he's there.
That was bollocks, it tells him.
Michael grins. It was okay, he whispers into the mic. The office behind him is alive with the new celebrations, Ryan announcing he's glad it's all over, while Ray jeers at them all with glee.
If you had just listened to me once in a while, you'd have won the tower way more times, the creeper tells him.
It starts to move off, and Banjo follows, leaving some space between them.
It doesn't matter if I win or not, it's just for fun, Michael says.
He thinks about how a few weeks ago he'd never have caught himself saying that. Winning was everything at one point. But it doesn't seem to matter much these days. Apparently the creeper knows him better than he thought, because...
I can't believe you just let those words come out of your mouth! What happened to you, Michael?
You don't shout as much. Michael almost sputters.
I don't shout as much?
He hisses.
Wow, thanks, dude.
No, I mean... The creeper pauses. In the game, it looks like it shoots Banjo a small glance, but it could be lag or something, for all Michael knows.
You just seem a bit... sad, I don't know.
Before Michael can respond, Jack is shouting to him from beside Ray's house. Apparently the creeper knows the Minecraft world really well because it had led Michael right back to Achievement City in double-quick time. The others hadn't even noticed he'd lagged behind. Banjo turns back to where the creeper had been standing, but it's gone. Michael sighs and pushes the glasses up his nose. He joins in congratulating Ray as usual, and doesn't protest when Jeff saves and exits. The next few weeks find Michael looking forward to Fridays more and more. The creeper's always waiting in around his house when they spawn, and provides the most hilarious running commentaries on the games and challenges that they play. It offers Michael more than a few tips, trying to encourage him to win, but sometimes Michael ignores them on purpose just to hear the indignation in the creeper's voice. He finds excuses to join Jeff and Ryan in the game when they make things for the Let's Builds, saying he wants to explore and get better at the game so he has a better chance of defeating Ray. While they are distracted, he wanders around trying to sneak up on the creeper, who rarely falls for it. He scared Michael of its skin more than once by simply appearing above him and dropping down, threatening to explode before backing off with a laugh, calling Michael all sorts of ridiculous names. It's almost a month before Michael realizes that what he's actually done is make friends with an imaginary person. It doesn't bother him as much as it should. The others assume he's working his way through the heartbreak, getting over Lindsay and becoming happier for letting go. And he supposes he is. He no longer hides at lunch or refuses invitations for drinks with the rest of the office. He finds himself listening to conversations and laughing along, imagining the creeper's reactions to some of the stuff that they get into. He starts to describe the events in-game as well. The creeper laughs loudly at their annex. And soon Michael feels comfortable enough to ask,
"So, have you always been a creeper or what?"
The creeper goes quiet and Michael bites his lip. What a stupid thing to ask. He's still not entirely sure this isn't all in his head, after all. What if confronting his friend leads to some sort of psychotic break? He'd probably go into full rage quit and murder everyone in the office. Christ!
I don't know.
It's the tone that breaks Michael's heart. Soft and confused. It looks at Banjo, and then looks down to the ground. Holy shit, Michael thinks. Can creepers cry?
Sorry, dude. It's just... I mean, this is great and everything, but... It's fucked up, you know? The creeper just looks down, and Michael would sell his entire My Little Pony collection if it meant he could turn back time just enough so that he'd never decide to start this conversation. I don't remember being anything but this now, the voice replies eventually. I mean, I know what a pub is, and I know you work in an office, and I know what an Xbox looks like, and stuff, but I don't... Michael opens his mouth, but finds he doesn't know what to say. It just seemed easier to think that he was a bit crazy than to imagine that there was an actual person inside the Minecraft world, trapped and alone. I don't know how I got here, and I don't know how to get out, the creeper finishes. Its breath hitches. I think my name was Gavin. Michael thinks that the only way to fix this is probably to attempt to throw himself inside the monitor. Living as Banjo would probably be kick-ass after a while. And he wouldn't have to worry about rent. But just as he's about to say as much, as lightning in the mood again is probably all he can do, Ryan announces that they're all done on the build, and the menu replaces the creeper's sad square eyes. Shit. That night, Michael can't stop thinking about it. How does someone, in all seriousness, get trapped in a fucking video game? It's science fiction bullshit, that's what it is. But he honestly doesn't think that he's crazy, and doesn't think that he ever has been. Which means that while he's been using the British creeper boy, Gavin, as some sort of coping strategy to get over his goddamn ex, there was a person lost somewhere, alone and in very real danger of exploding. Michael sits up and rolls to the edge of the bed. He reaches down to where he plugged in his laptop earlier and pulls it up by the cord to rest in his lap. Okay, time for research. On Monday, Michael is early and waiting for Jeff by his desk when the older man got to work. Jeff was used to being the first in. Millie was his alarm clock nowadays. He raised an eyebrow at Michael in greeting and then paused when the other man took a deep breath. So much for the weekend, he thought. Michael knew he had to get it out all in one long sentence, because if he hesitated, he'd lose his nerve. And this wasn't about him anymore. This was about a friend that needed help. He wasn't crazy, and Jeff couldn't prove anything anyway. So it was time to man up and get this thing the fuck done. Listen. You know a while ago when I was hearing that creeper? Jeff didn't say a word, just looked at him. Michael clenched his fists and kept going. Well, he's real and his name is Gavin, probably, and he's trapped in the game and we need to help get him out. Jeff drove a hand through his head and dropped his bag under the desk. Michael backed up to the window so he could grab his chair and sit down. After a few more seconds, Michael was ready to blow, but then Jeff spoke up. Okay. Michael blinked. Okay. Jeff shook his head and turned on the Xbox on his desk. Sometimes when I'm at home setting shit up for the Let's Plays, he's just... watching me. I don't know, dude. I thought I was going in freaking sane. But then, he laughs a little manically, and Michael resists the urge to back the fuck out of the door and try and convince himself he's never said anything. But then I woke up one Sunday, and Millie was in Achievement City, and goddamn, dude, she was talking to it. Michael reaches a hand out blindly and grabs Ray's chair from behind him. He sits down heavily. Oh. Yeah, Jeff replies, then loads up Minecraft and selects their world from the menu. Go sign in. Michael scrambles to do so, hands shaking. Holy shit, this is actually real and happening. He'd been convincing himself all goddamn weekend that it was, but now he's had confirmation, and it's just... holy shit! Banjo appears on the monitor, and Michael looks around, fully expecting Gavin to jump out from behind a secret wall he'd been creating or something. But he's nowhere to be found. The door opens behind him, and Master Chief is standing next to him. Not here? Jeff asks. Doesn't look like it, Michael mumbles in return. They leave the house again and scan the rest of Achievement City. He can't be far, Michael decides out loud. He always knows when we've signed in, or whatever, and gets here quick enough. Jeff suggests they split up, and Michael walks around the back of his house along the empty corner of the logo. It doesn't take long before he finds a small cobblestone house knitted right into a ridge not far from the altar of pimps. He calls Jeff over to his screen and asks if he made it. Jeff shakes his head. Nah, dude, not mine. Hang on a sec, I'll catch up. While Jeff steers Master Chief over to him, Michael urges Banjo forward until he's standing at the door. Softly, he can hear someone inside humming. He smiles and clicks the door open. The place is covered, wall-to-wall, in art. Wow, nice digs, dude. The creeper jumps around and turns to face him with a small scream, making Michael laugh. Calm down, dude, it's only me. Us, Jeff announces suddenly, Master Chief pushing his way in behind Banjo. Holy dicks, look at all the art! What are you doing here? Gavin's accent stutters out, Michael spares a glance at Jeff and finds himself nodding back. At least not the only one who can hear Gavin. "What are you doing in here?" Michael returns, walking a little closer then pausing as he sees the cookie in the creeper's hand. "Dude, are you baking?"
"I have to eat!"
Gavin cries back. Michael and Jeff laugh loudly. Half at him and half at the whole situation, Michael thinks. This is totally the most ridiculous thing to ever happen. "Hey, I'm Jeff, by the way," the older man says suddenly. "Millie told me about you." The creeper looks too scared to move. Michael finds himself wanting to hug it again.
Yeah, she got lost, and I was helping her back. I didn't know anyone else could hear me besides Michael."
"So you're a real kid?" Jeff continues. Master Chief is looking the creeper up and down, and Michael kind of wants to put himself between them, though he doesn't know why.
"Yeah, I'm Gavin. I was Gavin," the creeper says.
In the office, Jeff finds himself looking over to Michael. Michael doesn't look back and really hopes that Jeff can't see the broken look on his face. It's intense, this feeling in his gut. He wants to help, but even researching all weekend brought up very little of actual use. He really hopes Jeff has something.
"You sound British," Jeff says.
"So you think you were back home when you got trapped?"
The creeper puts the cookie it was holding in a chest and attached to the wall.
"I guess? I don't really remember much. I told Michael before."
"Safe to assume you were playing the game when whatever happened happened," Jeff carries on, almost as if Gavin hadn't spoken.
"Somewhere out there is a kid who's lost his head."
Michael considers this. "You mean like a coma?"
He'd read about them over the weekend. A few cases here and there, where someone had been attached to some VR suite or those Tecno glasses and just lost consciousness. When they woke up, they said it was like they'd been dreaming.
"I'm in a coma?" Gavin asked.
The skin of his creeper started to bulge in and out suddenly, as though ready to explode.
"Whoa, just calm down, Gavin, okay?
We're just thinking out loud here, dude," Michael said, Banjo stepping closer in spite of himself.
"Better back off a little," he heard Jeff tell him across the room.
He's scared.
"Somewhere out there I'm just lying in a bed, dying?"
Gavin's words were hushed and broken, and Michael couldn't do anything about them. The little cobblestone house seems to shrink around the three of them. Michael found himself at a dead stop before the British boy. There was little to no space between them, and Michael knew, a second too late, that it was a mistake. Gavin had just enough time to whisper his name before. He respawned inside his own house to the sound of Jeff's quiet mumbled, "Shit." He made Banjo sprint back to the house, but there was nothing much left of it, except a few blocks of stone and a big empty hole dotted with picture icons hovering around the ground.
"Gavin?"
It had been weeks, but Michael hadn't really noticed. He was going through the motions, just like with Lindsay. Stupid, really, to compare the breakup of a relationship to the loss of some weird imaginary creeper skin, but that's what it felt like. He felt like the biggest loser in the history of gaming. No contest. Some stupid jumped-up Jersey juice bag who decided to make a living shouting at video games in the hottest place on the planet. The kind of fucking idiot who decides to break up by creating an imaginary friend and making them blow themselves up at the first sign of emotional trauma. Jeff had tried to talk to him, but had given up in the end. There was no point. Michael had a feeling he had said something to the others, because none of them had mentioned his bitter mood or lack of communication outside the occasional grunt. But he didn't care much anymore. Screw it, perhaps you should go back to stocking shelves in some store, at least there he would blend right in. Because this was bullshit.
"So this new kid's gonna be at your barbecue?" Ray was asking.
"Yeah, so you idiots all need to show up and play nice," Jeff responded. "Can't believe you hired another one," Jack was saying with a short laugh.
"I swear I heard something about how hiring these two idiots was the biggest mistake you've ever made."
"Hey, we're the best thing to happen to this office, and you know it!"
Ray called back at him, nudging Michael's chair with his foot in hope of backup. Michael ignored it.
"Where are you even going to put him?" Ryan asks,
from his spot on the couch. It's near enough to the end of the day where the sun is already starting to dip behind the blinds. "There's room for one more desk," Jeff shrugs, looking over to the space between Michael and the door. "He's scrawny as shit anyway. He'll squeeze in."
"If you say so," Ryan grinned, standing and opening the door. "See bitches tomorrow."
The evening draws in and the workday wraps up, just as it always does. Michael picks up and heads out, nodding at Jeff when he reminds him to stop by the Ramsey's house in time after 2 p.m. the next day. Michael figures he'll leave it late enough so that by the time he turns up, everyone will be drunk. That way he can show his face and leave soon after, and no one will remember come morning. He doesn't give a flying fuck about the new guy. In the back of his mind, he knows why Jeff hired someone else anyway. After weeks of Michael's monotone words and piss-poor rage quits, he knows he's being replaced. Jeff's a decent man, he'll do it gently. But he's still their boss, and he's put too much in the company to have a weak link now. It was nice while it lasted, Michael thinks as he opens the door to his apartment. A great 2 years, after all. A dream job and a great wage. Not a lot of people ever get to say the same. And he does miss home, especially now. He spends the night on the sofa, but at least makes the effort to shower and change before getting into his car and heading for Jeff's. When he gets there at 5, the place is loud and bright and there are cars everywhere. He parks up and walks to the front door, but before he gets around to knocking, Bernie's voice is calling him from the side of the yard. "Round here, dude!" He nods when Bernie passes him a beer, and downs half of it in one go, ignoring the look Bernie gives him. "Go on over there and meet the others. They're interrogating the new recruit." It's kind of hilarious. Michael does as he's told, no point in trying to put it off. He'll smile and be polite and pretend he doesn't really hate the dickhead who's after his job. It's the accent that breaks through the gloom first. The bottle in his hand is halfway to his lips when he hears it. It's outraged and protesting, defending against some sort of attack on his hair, it sounds like. It isn't until Millie grabs his hand that Michael actually realizes what he's hearing. "Michael," she says brightly, tugging on his hand, "come meet Gavin." He lets himself be dragged through the small circle of people around the picnic table in the backyard, and Millie lets him go, bouncing over to her mom, Griffin, who's standing next to the most ridiculous-looking dude Michael has ever seen. He now understands why he's having him defend his hairstyle. It looks like an Eagle's dream home. "Gavin, Gavin, this is Michael! He shouts at video games!" Millie says loudly, the rest of the group laughing at the description. Michael's beer bottle is still halfway to his face. He lowers it with a cough. The boy, Gavin, smiles. "Hi, Michael." Michael tries to reply, he really does, but nothing comes out and he can see the rest of them looking at him confused. After a few seconds, Jeff comes to the rescue, calling from the barbecue pit about burgers, and most of them disperse. Gavin also stands up, but he doesn't follow the rest of them, instead coming to a stop in front of Michael. He's still smiling. It's kind of annoying. "Nice to meet you," Britt says. And yeah, that accent is so much better in real life. He holds out a hand which Michael finds himself clasping with his own. Then he drops the beer bottle into the grass and pulls Gavin against his chest. There's a pause and Gavin gasps, and Michael thinks, 1 second. He'll give him 1 second to respond, and then he'll let go and pass it off as some New Jersey greeting, and leave it at that. But Gavin's hands are already grazing up the back of his shirt. He rests his head on Michael's shoulder a moment later. "Hi," he says softly. "Hi, Gavin," Michael returns. "You blew up." "I woke up," Gavin corrects. "Turns out I was right along. Exploding does hurt. A lot." Michael pulls him in tighter and doesn't give a shit that they've just met. Whatever, they've been friends for over a month. Hugging is perfectly acceptable at this point. "Sorry," he mumbles into Gavin's hair. "That's okay," Gavin says, stupidly bright and cheerful for someone who spent the last 3 months trapped inside a video game. "I know how to make cookies now." Michael releases him and pulls away, but his hands still remain at Gavin's waist. "You know how to make cookies," he says, incredulous. "Yeah," Gavin tells him. His arms are draped around Michael's shoulders. They probably look like the two most stupid people in the entire world to everyone else, except maybe Jeff and Millie. "Also wear their hats for some reason." "Of course," Michael replies, grinning. "I mean, that's legitimate talent right there." "I'll make millions," Gavin agrees. "And build a real cobblestone house." "With blackjack and hookers?" Michael asks, playing along. "Well," Gavin pauses, considering. "Maybe just blackjack and one hooker." They separate when Millie bounces back over along with Ray and Jack, who have plates so piled up with food that it's spilling over. They sit down at the picnic table again, and Gavin pulls Michael along behind him to get food of their own. Jeff piles their plates high with a wide smile, and it isn't until they're walking back that Michael speaks again. "Dude, did you just call me a hooker?" Gavin gives him a shit-eating grin. "I did, yeah." Michael wants to grab, but he finds he can't. "Oh, you are so dead, creeper boy." Chapter 2. Gavin's POV. It was times like these Gavin knew that his mother was very proud of their decision to have a porch built. He shook beads of water from his hair, hearing them splatter against the glass door behind him. He peeled off his jacket and kicked off his Converse, wincing at the wet stickiness of his socks. This was rubbish, seriously. Only in England did you get a torrential downpour in the middle of bloody July. Some summer. The TV was blaring in the front room, some stoic BBC presenter, droning on about severe weather warnings and electrical storms unlike anything recorded for over 100 years. Gavin put his head around the door and called a hello to his mom.
who was far more interested in the weatherman than her eldest son covered in water. Gavin shrugged. His room had two setups, one for him and one for his friend Dan. His was the larger of the two, obviously. Two Xboxes surrounded by wires curling around it all over the place, under his massive telly. He really would have to tidy it all up at some point, but he kind of just bought stuff and plugged it in. At least it all worked. He switched on his TV and stripped off as Sky News started waxing lyrical about the unusual weather as well. "Don't need your bloody play-by-play, mate. Just been out in it," he muttered, pressing the source button on his remote with his foot and selecting HDMI. He was warmer and drier and sitting on his bed with a controller in his hand in no time, a towel wrapped around his hair, because he was the manly sort. Ha. He waited for Minecraft to update, listening to the thunderclap outside. He leant over and looked out his window, but the world was just a swirling mist of gray and rain. He could hear the sound of lightning hitting the deck, but he didn't see any. A generic seed loaded on the screen, the world appearing in sections. Blocks piled on top of each other to create something that looked like a field. Gavin hummed to himself along with the soundtrack, exploring happily. He told Michael his story, months and months later, and did not mention the fact that he had his head wrapped in a towel at this point, obviously. And that he really doesn't know how it happened. All he knows is that thunder bangs loudly against the skyline outside, electricity makes the lights in the house flicker, and the controller gets warm. All this happens in less than a second, and on the screen in front of him, he saw a creeper drop down and explode. Waking up and coming to the realization you're in a video game isn't one Gavin much enjoyed. It involved falling over a lot when he realized he didn't have arms. Breathing was something of an issue, especially when looking into a block of water revealed he didn't have a nose either. He spent a lot of time wandering, aimlessly, waiting to wake up. Time passed a lot quicker in the Minecraft world, so Gavin didn't take much notice of the sun rising and setting. He wasn't bothered by the strange noises and occasional rustling in the cube-looking bushes, because he wasn't convinced that it wasn't just one of his lucid dreams. He didn't control much, but he found that even without hands, he was able to will things to move around him. He built a cobblestone house after a while. He was bored. Days passed, and so did nights, and Gavin found himself starting to forget things. He stared into his reflection on the one-by-one window he'd made in the side of his house, knitted into the ridge, and tried to remember what color his eyes were. But his mind just kept telling him they were black, because they were. The creeper looking back at him had black eyes. He didn't want to explode. He became very self-conscious of the fact that it was a real issue after watching one of the AIs land face first into a small crevice and promptly blow up from the shock. The creeper absolutely did not want that happening to him. No way. He liked watching the skeletons try to mount cave spiders. It was endless entertainment seeing them fall over and the spiders legging it off into the distance. He didn't like Endermen. They stared down at him with probing purple eyes, looking at him like he didn't belong. The creeper would stare back at them fiercely because, hey, fuck them. He practically owned this place. He had a house and everything. But they didn't pay him much attention other than glaring at him. He caught one trying to steal a block from one of his walls once, but the anger he felt triggered a warmth inside him, and he ran off to calm down, terrified of ripping himself apart. It was 127 Minecraft days before he heard someone spawn. He'd been inside his house at the time, baking. It was fun, baking cookies. He couldn't make them into different shapes yet, but he was working on it. He knew it was possible. Sort of. He remembered you can put other things in them, not just cocoa beans. But he didn't know how exactly. Whatever, he'd figure it out. It was kind of a thump noise, and then a whoop. Dude, this is gonna be cool as dicks! The creeper frowned. Well, as much as he could. Who said anything was like dicks, anyways? That was ridiculous. He walked out of his house cautiously, trying to pinpoint the source of the resulting conversation. It sounded like two guys, people. It sounded like they were going to build something. The creeper huffed. This was his world. They could bloody well find their own. Safely tucked behind a tree, the creeper watched as someone resembling Master Chief, and someone else looking a bit Scottish, started messing around with colored wool. It got pretty boring after a while, so he soon ended up back at his house. His new hobby was creating artwork for his walls. He didn't like the stone. It felt cold. He liked the bright colors and odd shapes he could make. He could stare into them and remember things. He looked into a picture of himself standing by a window. Who was Master Chief, anyway? And how did the creeper know what he looked like? He struggled. It was a game, right? But concentrating on that started to hurt his head after a while, so he went to bed. He was starting to get used to waking up to odd shouts and curse words echoing through the trees. The two sneaky world invaders were apparently not bothered about this being the creeper's place, not theirs, and had set to building an entire city to prove just how much it didn't bother them. Arseholes. The creeper looked in on them now and again,
watching their infidel structures rise up out of materials they'd mined from his world. The cheek. Their logo is pretty cool, though. It was all black and green like him. Perhaps it was an homage or something? Awesome. It was another few weeks before the Creeper caught sight of the other people who'd come to live in the city. There were three more. Three! This place was going to get crowded. One in a suit, one in some sort of ridiculous biker getup, and one who kind of looked like a scary bear. The Creeper had almost had enough of it all when he walked out of his house to find the skyline dominated by a massive stone tower. Massive as in it blocked out the sun. What the hell? From there, things only got worse. One week, it was a man-made hillside apparently used for live target practice. Were they, like, in training to hunt creepers or something? The Creeper shivered at the thought of so many arrows falling on him. And next, the word fart appearing on the ground at the flick of a switch. The Creeper had begun to suspect that these people were, in fact, completely insane. He was watching them more and more, without quite realizing it. He found himself laughing so much at their antics, he had to hold his breath and turn away, worried about exploding. After a while, he found himself getting to know them a little. Master Chief was clearly in charge, though had the tendency to turn into a screeching idiot at the first sign of mutiny. The Scottish one appeared to be the brains of the operation, calm and considering. The biker was a tosser, pure and simple, and whiny, but kind of clever and sneaky when the time called for it. The other two seemed like a lot of fun. The one in the suit was really good at, well, everything, apparently. He liked roses, too. The Creeper had sneaked into the city to put one inside a chest for him once. The bear was the scariest person the Creeper had ever come into indirect contact with. His shouts echoed over the hillside and across the water, filling the Creeper's ears and making him drop stuff in fright. A sandstone block had landed on one of his feet once. It had hurt. They played games a lot, and laughed so loud that the other monsters were seen talking about filing noise complaints. Well, mostly that was just the skeletons. The Creeper figured this was because the whole lot of them were little bitches with piss-poor aim. And besides, the gamers were really fun to watch. He learned the names after a while, but he takes most notice of the bear. His name is Michael, and the Creeper begins to worry about how he's turned into a bit of a stalker. And then goes back to following Michael some more. He found himself getting closer in spite of himself, following Michael and finding it hilarious, hearing him curse in the cobblestone, trying to find Diamond. The first few times he didn't even know what iron looked like. The Creeper had tried to explain it to him, but Michael could never hear him, no matter how much fantastic advice he offered. Well, until he inadvertently made him lose one of their games, anyway. He didn't mean to! It was just the Creeper had found himself getting a bit invested when they challenged each other. And the suit always won! The others had noticed his shouts and calls, but the bear had stopped dead at the sound of his voice. He stuck around for a few minutes, watching others dance around the coveted Tower of Pimps. Seriously, what a stupid thing to call a Tower of Gold, idiots. Tentatively hovering just in the first line of trees behind the bear's house. But then Michael had turned and started shouting at him, and the Creeper was so shocked he legged it off into the trees as fast as his four legs could carry him. He still couldn't believe Michael had actually heard him after all this time, when he realized that what was actually happening was a scary arse bear with a diamond sword was chasing him, and holy shit, he'd explode and die, what the hell? Okay, no, what? Are you following me? Get away! Seriously, I was only trying to help! He didn't dare look back, but he didn't want to lead the crazed murderer back to his house either. So he settled for running to the far north of the map in hopes that the bear would give up. He didn't. Then he started accusing the Creeper of hacking, and then enough was enough. Entertaining they might have been, but to turn up and build shit all over the place without asking and then accusing him of hacking? Oh, hell no. I told you I didn't hack, the Creeper snapped at him. I live here. You guys came into my world. Not the other way around. I was here first. He stopped on the hillside, a few blocked ridges above the bear who had, thankfully, not come close enough to trigger any automatic explodey times. He was shaking. Michael was a wanker and was now talking to him all play fake nice, trying to get him to own up to something he hadn't done. Before they had a chance to have a serious argument, however, someone else called the signal to leave, and the bear disappeared. Yeah, you better leave, the Creeper called out after him. Bastard. The Creeper allowed himself to be a small green walking block of anger for about 2 days. And then he cheered because, yay, someone can hear him who wasn't an Enderman, someone human. The word strikes a chord with something deep, but he ignores it and starts to plan ahead. By his count, he has another day or so before they come back, either to build another structure or to play another challenge. And this time, the Creeper's going to be ready. It turned out not to be much of a plan in the end, just sort of standing by Michael's bed and waiting. But whatever, he's too excited to care. Finally, he can talk to someone again. He scares Michael so much he worries the man is going to get too close and trigger his only self-defense mechanism, but telling the bear so just leads to an argument.
Of course.
He watches Michael leave the house, called by his friends to play another game, and crouches low in case they look through the glass to see him. They play a game called Clouds, and it looks hard as dicks. He watches the four of them fall over and over again, their skin thumping loudly against the ground below before respawning. He hides under a tree near the place where they're supposed to build the Golden Tower of Awesome. His name, by the way. His name is way better. When they complete the course. He really wants Michael to win. He doesn't know why it's so important, but it is. When Ryan knocks a block out from under him, the creepers resist the urge to go and catch Michael when he falls. It's so frustrating sometimes, only being able to watch. He wants to play. He wants to kick Ray's arse sometimes. To show them all who the rear master of this place is. But because he can't, he wants Michael to win instead. Michael's funny. The game ends with Ray winning, again, and the creeper curses as they all run back to their city. He's a bit surprised when Michael lags behind to stop and talk to him. But he's happy, too. He guesses Michael's heard his commentary. It's easy to forget that someone else can hear him after having talked to himself for so long. They talk on the way back to Achievement City, and the creeper decides to be a bit bold, asking why Michael seems a bit sad nowadays. Michael avoids the question, turning the way the creeper words things into a joke. He tries to ask again, but they're already back in the city. The creeper ducks out of their line of sight, and Michael rejoins his friends and pretends nothing is wrong. Well, the creeper hears the sadness in his voice even if they don't, and he wants to fix it. He wonders if Michael likes cookies. Weeks pass, and he finds Michael seeks him out more and more. They talk about all sorts and try to play pranks on each other, which the creeper is way better at because, hello, he knows his place better than he knows himself. He shows Michael hidden caves with good materials and how to craft stuff better, which Michael shows he's grateful for by calling him stupid nicknames and laughing at his jokes. The creeper is happy because he has a friend, even if it isn't for a long time and only now and again. He finds a side effect of missing Michael when he's not there is that the days seem to speed up when he's around and slow down when he's not. It's frustrating. Michael seems a bit happier every time the creeper talks to him. He doesn't know if it's because he's getting over the girl he used to date, Michael mentions her briefly, making her sound lovely, but the creeper suspects she's not because she made his friend feel like shit, or because of the increasingly stupid pranks he tries to play to make Michael laugh. And then Michael asks him if he's always been a creeper, and the creeper feels like he can't breathe again. It's like when he first arrived, when everything was strange and didn't make sense. He doesn't like it, the way it makes him feel like he's all wrong, somehow, and Michael's small eyes remind him of the Endermans, and he wants to hide back in his house, surrounded by the bright colors all over the walls. A memory sparks somewhere as Michael continues, a sharp stabbing pain in his head. I don't know how I got here, and I don't know how to get out, he admits, breath hitching. I think my name is Gavin. And then Michael disappears again. Gavin. The word rolls around and around in his head, connecting with other words and people and places as it goes, and the creeper, Gavin, begins to remember a life completely different from this one. With friends in a room, with video games scattered everywhere, and a family. He wanders around the crude land on legs that feel stupid and don't belong to him, dejected and inconsolable. The sun goes up and comes down, and Gavin finds that nothing helps. Not the art, not baking, not making leather armor, and trying to make the cows wear it, nothing. He's walking in the south end of the map along a snow-dotted mountain range when he hears a small, scared voice he doesn't recognize. It's a little girl, and Gavin looks around trying to find the source of the calls. Daddy? Come help me, I think I'm lost. Gavin frowns at the sorrow in her voice and resolves to help her, as shitty as he feels. He eventually finds her standing in the center of a ravine, looking up at the rectangular clouds floating lazily across the sky-colored background above them. She jumps when she sees Gavin. Oh no, creepy! She moans, moving to jump along the rock blocks behind her in an effort to get away. It's okay, Gavin calls out. He knows full well she probably can't hear him, but he tries anyway. Little girls shouldn't get scared of stuff. There should be a rule. But apparently she does, because she turns and gasps. Creepy? She asks. The sound of her amazed voice is almost enough to pull Gavin out of his gloom. Yeah, kinda. My name's Gavin. Oh, she says. And kids are brilliant, really, because she's already jumping down to come talk to him properly. Don't get too close, he warns softly, and the little girl stops a few feet away. Cool character, she says to him. Do you play with the other achievement hunters like Daddy? Gavin shakes his head. Not as such, but I know them, kinda. Well, I know Michael, anyway. Mila giggles. It's the nicest sound Gavin's heard, and he doesn't know how long. Michael is funny. He shouts at video games, she tells him. Gavin nodded. So I've heard. And he had. Michael told him pretty much everything about where he works and who he works with, going on and on about games like he likes and what pisses him off about them. It sounds like a lot of people like to watch their antics online, not just Gavin. At least Gavin has kind of a front row seat, he supposes. You want to go back to Achievement City? Millie nods, and they set off. Gavin had the place mapped out for a long time, and he knows it won't take long to get there. He lets Millie chat to him as they travel, telling him about her mom and her dad, and how they build things and let her paint. They sound a lot cooler than his parents, he has to admit. Millie cheers when they make it back to the city, and Gavin drops out of sight when Master Chief spawns. He doesn't hear him ask her who she was talking to. He misses his mom. It's another day before the whole world comes crashing down on him. Baking as usual inside his home, trying desperately to cheer himself up, he doesn't expect Michael, and then Master Chief, Jeff, to trample in the door behind him. Their conversation lasted all 5 minutes, but it was long enough to make Gavin do the thing he'd feared the most for what felt like months. It was enough to make him, crying and shaking, and way too close to Michael, to blow himself up into 1,000 tiny pieces. His eyes feel like someone glued them shut. It hurt so much when he tried to open them he almost gave up, but a soft, encouraging voice that sounded really familiar was telling him to keep trying, so he did. The pain in his head was unbearable. There was so much going on around him, he cried out more than once. Bright lights shone into his eyes, and tubes were pulled from his nose and mouth. Harsh beats drawn into his ears, and people kept telling him to move this and that, and all he wanted to do was sleep. He wanted to pull the blanket scraped across his chest, up and over his head, to shut out all the light and noise and fade away. But the world wasn't going to let him do that, banging on his brain like an important door-to-door salesman. "Leave me alone," he slurred out in protest, and was relieved to find most of the noise and movement did, in fact, come to a halt around him. "Oh, my precious boy," a woman said. "Haven't you slept long enough?" The next week is a haze of questions, hand-holding, awkward jokes, and probing. The doctors finally agreed to release him after 8 days attached to monitors and eating Weber's food. It was the most terrible thing to ever have happened to him, ever. Dan was there almost as much as his mother, and told him about the storm and lightning and him falling into a coma after his console had shorted out and shocked him. He told Dan how he'd been dreaming that he was a real creeper. Dan had laughed for ages until Gavin had eventually hit him and sent him for more chocolate. It wasn't until he got home, settled and finally warm and comfortable, and that he realized Cheat Hunter was a real website, and that Michael was a real person. Rage Quit was the most stupid, idiotic, fantastic thing he'd ever watched. Listening to the familiar voice get more and more aggravated made him grin for hours, going back to watch his favorites over and over again. It was odd looking at pictures of Michael in real life, from how Gavin had imagined him outside wearing the bear skin. A little shorter, glasses, geeky tattoos. He liked his hair longer, finding himself utterly dismayed when he saw videos of him having straightened it. Sacrilege. It was a drunken, tentative email that had started off the next weird chain of events that would shape Gavin's life. And instead of to Michael, the person he wanted to contact the most, it had been to Jeff instead. Because Gavin had a plan. A plan almost as good as waiting by someone's imaginary bed, like a stalker when you wanted to talk to them. The return email took 5 days. 5 days of cursing and stress and quiet freaking out in his bedroom until he opened it and almost screamed with excitement. What followed were hours and hours of Skype conversations, getting to know possibly the coolest person on the planet, Jeffrey Laser Ransley. When Jeff invited him to play Minecraft, Gavin hesitated. "Just log in and come and find Achievement City, okay? It'll be fine, lad." Gavin hadn't touched the console since his return to the waking world, and he wasn't sure he wanted to now. But Jeff's gentle coaxing worked well enough to get him there. When he appeared in front of Master Chief, Jeff let out a laugh. "You planned that or what?" Gavin didn't know what he was on about until he went into the settings and found that his skin had been changed. Instead of the generic Steve skin he had been playing as before, he now had a creeper one. It was another week before he convinced his mom he was well enough to take Jeff up on his offer of employment. She tutted and told him off for accepting without telling her, and then didn't talk to him at all. It was at this point he learned he could make the most fantastic cookies ever, and his mother finally looked up at him from the kitchen table and she said she loved him. It was as much of a blessing as she was going to get, and his bag was packed that night. Jeff's wife, Emily, met him at the airport later that week, and if Griffin was confused about the fact that her daughter seemed to know him, she didn't show it. He was welcomed into the Ramsey household like he always had a place there. Griffin made him help get ready for the barbecue the next day, and Jeff threw cut pepper strips at him and told him about who he'd be meeting, and that the most important thing to do was to suck up to him and bring him beer all evening because he'd gotten Gavin the most awesome job in the world and he should be grateful. Gavin laughed, sneakily asking questions about Michael, which Griffin thought was adorable, and Millie gave him avid description of the way he would shake the monitor when he died playing video games. When the guests started to arrive the next day, Gavin met Bernie Burns and was instantly enthralled. The man was both a massive arsehole and possibly the most brilliant cover book in the world. But as the evening drew on and he was introduced to more and more people, he grew more and more nervous. He had no idea what would happen when he finally met Michael. No idea if the other man would make the tentative connection and recognize him, or if he would even care. It was a terrifying prospect, and Gavin was so glad that he wasn't in danger of exploding anymore. Well, literally, anyway. The other achievement hunters took about 5 seconds from being introduced to him to making fun of his hair. It was kind of mean. He protested and played along good-naturedly, glad of the distraction from the inevitable meeting with the famous Michael Jones, who he'd maybe decided he was a little bit in love with. Yeah, that was going to be an awkward conversation at some point. "Michael!" he heard Millie exclaim brightly. "Come meet Gavin!" Gavin squares, his heart stops. "Hi, Michael," he manages. Michael peers through the crowd around the picnic table, and Gavin can't take his eyes off him. Silly, really, how attached to someone's voice you can get. How much you can learn about someone else without ever having seen them. But Gavin feels like he's known Michael for months and months, and that it should be just like when he'd accidentally gotten turned into Creeper. It feels like nothing should change. He hopes to God Michael feels the same. He can hear the group around them go silent until Jeff calls them over for more meat, and they all trample over to the other end of the lawn happily. Gavin takes a breath and gets up and goes over to Michael. "Hi," he says again. Michael is just looking at him, head slightly tilted because of the interest or height difference. Gavin starts to fidget, but then holds out a hand instead, just to give himself something to do. Michael takes it. Maybe he doesn't remember, or maybe he gasps when Michael pulls him into a hug. It's the best feeling ever, and Gavin tilts his head down for a second to rest it on the other man's shoulder. "Hi, Gavin," he hears Michael say finally. And Gavin lets the tension in his shoulders go. They hold each other and shoot insults, and Gavin even gets away with calling him a hooker for a few minutes, teasing and smiling and happy. The night ends with him falling asleep half in Michael's lap on a large sofa in the Rungy's living room, and Gavin sends out a silent thanks to the freak lightning storm that shocked him into a coma and turned him into a creeper, because Michael is warm and soft and snoring lightly above him, drunk and lazy. They hadn't even been more than a foot apart the entire night. Gavin wonders if creepers have ever exploded from happiness. You just finished listening to One Trapped Creeper Boy by Anon01. If you enjoyed the story, please leave her some feedback at archiveofourown.org/works/806578. And if you enjoyed my reading of the story, please leave me some feedback at archiveofourown.org/works/888629. And finally, Podficker Notes. Hi everyone. I really hope you enjoyed my reading of the story. I'm very new to Podfic. I'm actually working on a much longer Podfic, and I just needed a break, and I decided, hey, I like the story, so why not Podfic it? It's relatively short, by my standards. And I thought it was adorable the first time I read it, so it's actually on a list of Podfics I want to do for the Achievement Hunter fandom, and I thought it was a good one to start with. So I really hope that you enjoyed it, and I'm sorry that Gavin is American, because I really did try with his accent. It didn't come out good at all, so I went back over and re-recorded it with my normal voice, because I just can't do I can't do it. I had a lot of fun with this. I really hope that you did too, because, like, the other one I'm working on is very, very long, and it can be a bit tedious in places. This was just a lot of fun for me to do and perform, especially Michael's part. He and I have kind of a similar speaking pattern, I guess you could say. So, like, performing him was very easy for me. I had a lot of fun with that part. Gavin's was a lot more talking than I expected, because it's mostly him just thinking to himself. There's not a lot of dialogue in that chapter, so that was a bit of a challenge, because I do dialogue, well, besides voices, I do dialogue pretty well. As far as, like, the process of the podfic, I actually had a very easy time with it. I stumbled pretty badly in a couple areas, but I hope that it doesn't come across in the recording. I hopefully edited out most of it. I've babbled on for long enough. So thank you again for listening, and
I really hope you enjoyed it, and cheers.